Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk. Here it is, October 30th. It's Halloween weekend. We've had frost on the pumpkin this week. It's been outstanding. So I got to say, we're probably thinking about hunting, thinking about shooting guns. Well, it doesn't matter if it's October 30th or not. I'm always thinking about hunting and shooting guns and things like that. So anyway, let's see. And it is, and actually, after the monsoon season, I don't know how much we got. We must have got a couple inches of rain again the last couple of days. And now we're drying out, so we're going to have, I think there's a football game in like less than an hour. Right, Derek?
Yeah, Michigan and Michigan State will be playing up at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing today for bragging rights in the great state of Michigan.
Yep, and it could evenly match. It could go either way this week, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's possible. These teams are pretty evenly matched for the most part. They both, even though Michigan surprisingly has the fifth-ranked secondary according to Pro Football Focus, they've had some times this year where their pass defense has been a little bit suspect, and that could play into Michigan State's hands. But I think the difference in this game is the best player for both teams, and that would be Aiden Hutchinson, the Wolverines' defensive end. He's going to be the ultimate difference maker. That's why I picked Michigan to win by a touchdown.
Okay, well, that's cool. Well, there's no debate because the Lions are going to win tomorrow, right?
Maybe. I mean, I know they're still winless. They're playing a team that's won a couple of games, so at least the Philadelphia Eagles have that going for them. But the Lions, yeah, they came somewhat close last week against the L.A. Rams and their former teammate Matt Stafford, but it really wasn't surprising that they ended up losing the way they did. It looked like the Lions were going to take the lead late in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden they threw an interception, game over.
Yeah, I know. Well, here we are at, this is Trigger Talk, not sports talk, but it's always fun to talk with Derek about it. And we actually got some phones ringing here. So they're probably going, okay, enough of the sports talk. Get on with the gun talk. So, okay, we'll do that. Let's see. We have gun shows today. Taylortown Gun Show, the Gaylord Gun Show, the Jackson Gun and Knife Show, and the Verified Clyde Gun Show in Clyde. I don't know. That's Clyde, Ohio. That must be right on the border. Let's see. In Ohio, we've got the Shelby County Gun Show, the Miami Town Gun and Knife Show, the Clyde Gun Show, which I mentioned already, the Dayton Gun Show, the Hilliard Gun Special Ops Show, and the Niles Gun Show. Holy cow. Well, people are getting ready to, they're going, oh my God, it's almost November. I'm going to have to get going and do some purchasing here. So let's see. In Missouri, you guys out there have the Archie Gun Show in Archie, Missouri, the Old Boys Gun Show at the Disabled Veterans Building in Buffalo, the Phelps County Gun Show in Rolla, and the Joplin Gun Show in Joplin, Missouri. And there aren't any in New York. So at any rate, being the last day of the month here, we've got, or almost the last day of the month, we've got still the same numbers for October, 761,741 CPLs in the state this month. And hopefully we're going to have a couple thousand, because we have built quite a pending unit back up again, 7,100 pending applicant. So come on, guys, let's get this going. You can't blame COVID for everything forever. So at any rate, let's see. I'm going to mention a couple things. I got a call this week from a good friend of the show and a good friend of the station. And you probably have heard us talk about him for years, Bill Kahn. Do you remember Bill Kahn? He ran the Mule Skinner's Boot Shop out in Chelsea for so many years. And Theron and I used to go out there and do remote broadcasts and things like that. Well, he told me that he's been invited by Ann Arbor Arms on November 20th for a pre-Black Friday sale. So I just want to mention, because Bill's been such a good supporter of the station and of the program for so long, that even though he retired from his store in Chelsea, he still maintains all of his equipment and things like that so that he can make custom holsters and belts for you guys. So at any rate, go head on out to Ann Arbor Arms on Saturday, the 20th of November, and see Bill Kahn, because he will be there from like 9 in the morning until 5 or 6 or 7 in the evening. All day long, he'll be there. You'll be all plum tuckered out by the time that show, that day is over. But go pick up some neat holsters and stuff from Bill. He's a good guy. Let's see, and I do want to mention tomorrow, and actually next week, next Sunday also, is a running deer shoot at Tri-County, so don't forget about that. Remember, we were talking about pin shoots before, and now we're talking about running deer shoots. So, and that's actually not a running deer. It is it's a cardboard cutout that moves back and forth across your field of vision, and it has a different setup. Sometimes you take a couple of shots stationary, and then while it's shooting, and then a final one when it stops. They mix it up a little bit, and you win prizes. So, you know, it's not like what is it that Theron says on his show? You may be eligible for billions of dollars of prizes. No, not like that. It might be a pound of bacon or something like that, but have fun, okay? Let's see. I know this is not not good radio here, but I'm going to talk about three memes, and I'm going to put them up on my website, which is TriggerTalkRadio.com. And I hope you go there, because there's a lot of stuff that I post. I post information. I post the ballistic test that Tom from Northfield Township and I work on. All sorts of stuff, but sometimes funny things like memes and stuff. And this one was one, I think I saw it, I don't remember if it was on Ed Bondarenka's website last night or on Facebook or something. Actually, are we still calling it Facebook, Derek, or is it something else now?
It's called Meta.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Meta. Okay. I know it's something like Metaverse or Meta. Well, who cares, okay? I think we should not be spending as much time there, but I do stop there to look at grandkids and things like that. So, but a lot of times people put good memes up, and I want to say I get some from the other guys on the station here. Sometimes Theron's puts up some outstanding ones on his Theron Exington one. Dale Chamberlain is a friend of mine, and he puts things up too. And so I think this was from Dale, and it says, fun fact, and it has a picture of a dog, like a chocolate lab, and he's sitting in the passenger seat of a car, and he's wearing a backpack, okay, like a harness, you know, like a service dog wears or something. And there's he's got a holster on, and there's a Glock 19 tucked in the holster. And it says, fun fact, no state in the nation requires a dog to have a carry permit. I'm thinking, brilliant, brilliant. Why, you could be walking around and walking with your dog on a leash, and he's got a Glock 19 on his harness. What an outstanding idea that is. So at any rate, then I saw one. So there's three of them. I'm going to put them up. This one is a picture of a young thug. Okay. He is in, and it actually says Thug Life on it. And he's clearly taking a picture in the bathroom in the mirror, and he's holding up a revolver. And then coming down from the revolver, from the grip, is a 33 round, Glock mag, and you look at it and you go, and it says, if you don't see what's wrong with this picture, promise me you'll never buy a gun, okay? I thought that was so fun. So I'm going to put that one up too. And lastly, this one's kind of interesting. It's very, very appropriate with what's going on in New York and around the country right now. There's a picture of a fireman, and he is entering into a house, and he kicks the door open, and he goes, "Fear not, lady, I'll save you." And he's got his water hose and stuff like that. And the lady goes, "Are you fully vaccinated?" And he drops his hose. And then there's a picture of him outside, and he goes, "Yeah, she was already dead when I found her." Now, I got to tell you, a fireman would not do that, but I find it very appropriate. appropriate. So at any rate, I'm going to put that up, okay? We have got Tom from Northfield Township about ballistic testing. Oh, gosh, I put out the bat signal, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Dick. I'm fine. I have been working on on the 45 test since it did so poorly in the simulated bone and dirt tissue test. And I had told you a while back that I wanted to try some BBs as initiators in those bullets.
Okay.
Well, I got some, and I can tell everybody, don't put BBs in them. They don't work. They do not work. I had a sample of six that I tried,
yeah,
and none of them did anything. The BBs just turned the bullet into like a full metal jacket, and they just went right to the bottom of the container.
Yep. Well, I can appreciate your curiosity and stuff. I do want to caution people, okay? And this is one of the reasons that I only use factory ammo in my carry guns. And also, especially like Tom. Now, Tom is an engineering test technician, okay? And he yearns to test things and figure out how to make them better and worse and stuff like that, right, Tom?
Right. But I also have some good news for you.
Well, but hold on a second. What I'm going to say is the thing is about he had been testing and been disappointed with various bullets. If you haven't heard this over the last couple of years when we've done this ballistic testing, Tom has, you know, developed a proprietary media that he uses to test, you know, just like ballistic gelatin to test for expansion, like going into tissue. And then also he developed using real pork bones, although he developed a substitute for it, but to figure out, you know, how to simulate if you hit a rib or something. So he's very curious about this stuff. And so what happens is that he had found that some ammunition doesn't perform well, and he actually will sometimes put a little initiator like silicone in the end, and he thought he'd try a BB, okay? And that's interesting because I do know there are rounds out there, especially in the pellet gun world, that have like BBs as initiators and stuff. So he tried that. But what I want to caution you folks, and this is I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio, but I can tell you from being a CPL instructor, that if you were to use something where you have modified a round in an actual carry gun and had to use it, that would be used against you. They would hold up and say, well, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Mr. Kupke here wasn't satisfied with the deadliness of this Hornady XTP. He had to make a super deadly bullet of his own to ensure that he would kill the person by inserting a BB in the end of it or something. So I'm just cautioning you, use factory ammo for your carry guns, not because it's any better, but because it's defensible. Okay? So, Tom, go ahead. What was the good news?
Yeah, well, the good news is yesterday I also went and filled up the six bullets that I used with some clear silicone.
Okay. Rubber. Yep.
Put that in there, wipe the ends off. It's real quick and easy to do. And since Speer is doing the same thing with their G2,
right,
I figure, well, why not me? Well, I only had time to fire off the silver tip this morning.
Okay.
And it performed beautifully.
Excellent.
Well, it went in, you know, 10.5 inches into the dirt tissue, and it expanded to 0.89 inches.
Wow, very good. And that's on out of a 45, so it's virtually doubled its size.
Yeah, that was fired out of my governor.
Very good. Oh, that's in. So you were shooting it in 45 long Colt?
No, no, it's ACP.
Oh, you got okay. Your governor, you use moon clips on it, don't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
It can fire the 45 long Colt, 45 ACP, and of course the 410 shotgun round.
Yeah. And with the moon clips, it gives you the added benefit of the ability to have faster reload. So that's really cool.
Right, and for personal defense, I've got two six-shot moon clips that are loaded with guard dogs, which did perform well on our
test. We really like those Federal guard dogs. I don't know if they're still making them even. I ought to check because I was just reading an article last night about Federal ammunition. So I'll have to look that up. But, it is so funny because some of the ammunition, it performs, even though it has similar bullet construction between like a 9mm or a 40 or a 45, but they'll perform totally different. And the only thing I can think is that it is velocity, right?
Yeah, that seems to be the key. But sometimes the cavity sizes in them are, you know, bigger or smaller. I mean, there's a lot of factors. Do that.
Well, Tom, thank you for the update. And I've got to get with you because we've still got some planning we need to do and some other guns like the 44 Special I want to do and stuff. Yep. But I have been, and by the way, thank you for the nice email I got from you. I have been, for the last 3 months or so, 3 or 4 months, I've been totally busy with my father. And now I'm helping my mother, and for the past week, she was home by herself for the first time in 85 years, basically, because she went from living with her parents to marrying my father and being with him for 65 years. And so now I'm going to be around more because she's doing well, and I'm able to be back home, and I'll be able to meet up with you more often, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to rain on any parade about the initiators because Tom does put in the silicone, which probably would be acceptable because that is something that they are doing themselves, like in the Gold Dot G2s and things like that. But you do have to be careful, and this is one of the things we taught in class. And that's the other reason is that there was a guy they were talking about, and he had been making ammunition for his hand loading himself, and unfortunately he had a wife who was rather I guess unstable, and he was trying to help her out with a hobby and things like that, like shooting, and he had downloaded some 38 Special ammunition down to a very low recoil point so that, because on a 38 Special and a revolver, you don't need to have enough, I want to say, back pressure and things like that to function the gun. So on a revolver, you are the functioning by pulling the trigger and it rotates and cocks the hammer. Well, so he had downloaded a box of rounds to the point where it was not hurting her hand when she would shoot. Well, she, through the course of months and stuff, she had ended up getting depressed, and she ended up taking her own life. And she did it with this firearm and with this load that her husband had made. And because it was downloaded so far, it was barely putting out any powder. And so even though the woman held the gun to her head and pulled the trigger, there was very little in terms of powder burns. And so the forensics, they studied it, and they said, well, there's no way this was somebody who held a gun close to their head because there's no powder burns. And he goes, well, no, she was using these rounds that I made for her that are reduced recoil and stuff. Well, he almost got convicted for murder because it appeared that the gun had been fired from farther away, farther than an arm's reach. So they were blaming him for taking the life of his wife. So the thing is that there are some reasons that you only use in carry guns or in the guns that you keep loaded factory ammo. Okay. And it's, like I said, it's not because of reliability. I have never had on any of the ammunition that I have loaded myself, I've never had a reliability issue. I've shot some that belonged to somebody else we were up shooting. This was actually in Canada, and we were shooting a Beretta 92FS, and he had hand loaded up a bunch of rounds. And so we were at the range and we were shooting, and I was shooting his Beretta, and it went bang, but it didn't go bang. It went pop like that. I go, that doesn't sound right. So I, and they're very easy to disassemble at 92FS to take the barrel out and look down it. So I quickly took it apart and looked, and sure enough, there was a projectile stuck in the barrel. Okay, and it was that it was a squib load. The primer had pushed out the projectile, but it only went a little ways and got stuck in the barrel. Well, if the next one that I shot would have been behind it, it could have acted like a plug and it would have blown up the barrel. And it could have been, if you thought it was going to be a blank. Now, does this sound familiar? Like, what's his name? Baldwin, Alec Baldwin. And the shooting that took place out there where they may have had a squib load and may have had a projectile stuck in the barrel, or it may have been a live round, which would be totally wrong anyway on a movie set. But the point is that you got to be careful when you're shooting hand-loaded ammunition, because I shot that one and it went pop and it stuck a projectile in the barrel. So I took a rod and knocked out the projectile, and then I went ahead and put reassembled the gun and went to fire again, and the second one went pop. Well, apparently he had been loading his ammunition with a progressive loader. Now, that doesn't mean a liberal loader. Actually, that would be true. A progressive loader, hand loader might be one that doesn't put any powder in it. I never thought about that. That's a good point. But the thing is that it was a progressive loader, and apparently the powder measure had clogged up or misfed. And so what happened is he ended up loading a whole box of ammo that had primers in it, but no powder. So he had to go deconstruct those and fix them later. But the point is that you have to be careful when you're shooting hand loads, or if you have loads in your gun that you have as a nightstand gun or a self-defense gun, you should be using factory ammo because it's defensible. Because they keep copies of every lot of the ammo that they produce, so that if the police, the FBI, whomever needs to do a study to determine how far away there was a shooting incident, they can tell by the amount of powder burns, the velocity of the bullet, things like that. So very interesting. Maybe not. I find it interesting because I hand load, but maybe you don't. Let's see. Henry Repeating Arms expands its new Wisconsin facility. Outstanding. I hear these all the time. Dan Bongino on, maybe they're related. I don't know. Ed from Ypsilanti. Is he a distant cousin? But at any rate, I listened to Dan Bongino during the old rush hour, and he's always talking about, one of his sponsors is Henry Repeating Arms. And they always say, made in America or not made at all. And they just opened up a new 85,000 square foot facility that's going to have, I think, 1,500 new workers in it or something like that, 600 employees, gives them a total of 1,500 there, but in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. And so here are these, by the way, that's kind of that's not really necessarily a red state, but it is not a horrific blue state like being in Massachusetts or something like that. So at any rate, they opened up a new facility, and I really like the whole Henry company, the products they make, the commitment they make that it's made in the America or not made at all. I think that's a great thing. So take a look at some of the Henry rifles out there. Let's see. Last week I talked about Springfield High Powers and the fact that they were teasing about potentially opening up production on it. They have indeed. That was announced this week, and now there's a controversy about it. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit when we get back. What else are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about a number of things related to guns. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. Be back in a minute.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I was just talking about that last week we had a teaser because there was a thought that Browning, or Springfield Armory, may be bringing back the Browning High Power. And so they had put out an ad that showed like a Springfield workbench and with some of their guns, and it showed a picture of Moses Browning and a clock set for 1935. And I want to say it was very neat idea. Well, it turned out, as suspected, that Monday they made the announcement that they were bringing back what they call their, SA-35, which is a 9mm double stack. It's an outstanding classic heavy firearm. And so, interestingly enough, I thought, you know, they have been making, because they were out of production since Browning stopped in 2017. And there's been a number of companies that have made them over the years as copies or clones. And there's a company in Turkey called Girsan, G-I-R-S-A-N, and they made one. Well, they are imported by a company called EAA. And EAA is an importer of, what does it even stand for? I'm just not, European American Armory. Excuse me. Anyway, so they decided that they would do a play. They actually took the exact picture of the that the Springfield Armory had used and put some of their logos on it and replaced a gun that was the M1A or M14 that the Springfield had, and they put one of their shotguns that they import on and stuff, and they go shipping in November 2021, which they just started shipping them in, I think, October. So the thing is that they took a clearly an ad from Springfield Armory and put their logo on it and said, "We're already doing this, guys. No need to wait." And their Girsan actually is cheaper. It's $528 instead of $699. So I want to say, though, for $160, I'd get the Springfield Armory version because it's far better finished and stuff. But now they're tied up in in court and lawsuits and stuff like that. But at any rate, it is true that there is a Browning High Power out now. So I think that would be a fun. And 9mm, heavy 9mm. Like, you know what the hot gun is on the range for guys that are shooting competition and stuff like that? Are the 9mm 1911s. Everybody loves them, okay? So at any rate, this would be a good substitute for that, or an improvement on that. If you went, there's a bar fight. Which is better, the Browning High Power or the 1911? But in 9mm, even. So at any rate, the thing is that you can get one now. Now I'm gonna start a story that I'm hoping to finish in about 2 weeks. Okay, no, not that we're gonna talk about nothing but that, but. I was down, as I mentioned, I was down in Indiana this week, and I was talking with one of my friends, and this is a longtime listener to the show. His name's John from Danville, and been friends with John since 1968, he and his wife had picked up a firearm, and because she has really gotten into guns. This has been the last 4 or 5 years, and she really is into guns now. And she picks up a lot of them when they strike her. And she picked up a Ruger PC Charger. Okay, now that is one of the pistol caliber carbine kind of things, but it's in a pistol form. And actually, it's got a SIG pistol brace on it, okay, which is one of those that allows you to shoot the gun one-handed because you can wrap a brace around your forearm and stuff like that. Well, she also, something caught her eye, and that, because she saw it on YouTube, and she goes, "This is pretty cool." She ordered and picked up a Frankfurt Armory binary trigger for it. Now, what is a binary trigger, you may ask? This is kind of like a hot thing out there, and actually it is a trigger that allows like three different settings. It's off, on, and then in binary position. Binary means that when you pull the trigger, it releases the gun or the sear and the hammer, and it fires around. And then when you release the trigger, it does the same. So you get a, instead of bang, and I'm moving my finger each time. Imagine this. Look real hard at the car radio. You can see it in the speaker. Bang, bang, bang. Instead of getting that, you get bang, 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 bang. You get a double time of it because it fires once on pulling and once on release. Very interesting. Now, she is not overly mechanical and stuff, so she asked John to ask me if I would install that trigger for her. And I thought, I would love to. So I have got a project gun that I'm working on now, and it is a Ruger PC Charger in 9mm, and I am replacing the stock trigger with a Frankford Armory binary trigger. And she also put a really cool, nice little red dot on it. So I'm going to sight that in and get it all set up. And I'm hoping to have that done in a week or two between, you know, mowing the lawn and doing stuff like that. But I'll keep you posted on that because it could be a really fun thing. Binary triggers are the one of the hottest things out there in terms of increasing the rate of fire without being illegal. Okay, it's not a machine gun. It's still, you have to do an action to fire the round. So once to pull, once when you let go. And it also has a position for normal as well. So at any rate, it's kind of fun. I will fill you in on it, and maybe I'll end up with a video or something of it if I can, and I'll see if I can post that. So anyway, let's see. Congress to hold military accountable for missing guns. Huh. Now, that sounds like a, now, you know, that would be kind of, they try to hold the people accountable for missing guns. Like, if you get a gun stolen or lose one, you have to report it within a certain number of days or you're illegal. Okay? And so Congress is coming back and going, you know, over, now listen to this. In the 2010s, okay, so, you know, the decade that we just completed, the AP, now this is the Associated Press digging in, you know, they found that at least 2,000 firearms from the Army, the Marines, the Navy, or the Air Force were lost or stolen. So let's break that down. Over 10 years, they lost 2,000 guns. So that means they lost maybe 200 guns a year were lost or stolen for four branches of the service. So maybe 50 per branch they lost. So, okay, that's still not good, okay? And there are police agencies that lose guns and things like that too. Now, I want to say, okay, Congress, you go after that, okay? Go and make them responsible for losing 2,000 firearms. How about 370,000 assault weapons, M16s, M4 carbines that we left for the Taliban. Okay, what about them? Maybe can we make Joe responsible for those? And what about $85 billion? What about those Black Hawk helicopters and the C-17s and all those Humvees and trucks and everything else that, and mortars and heavy machine guns and stuff? No, you're going to worry about the Army, Marines, Navy, or Air Force maybe misplacing or losing 50 guns a year when Joe in one weekend gave $85 billion worth of arms to the Taliban. Okay, you guys could keep me posted on that story. You come back when you've got something relevant, okay? Totally ridiculous, okay? Now, here's an interesting story. Assistant principal suspended for not reporting a gun on campus. So what happened is this, where was this? Jefferson County Schools, I forget where that is. At any rate, at Jefferson County Schools, there was a kid who brought in a pistol. Okay, now this is stupid. It's against the law. And nowadays you don't know what's going to happen because they don't know the intent of the person, okay? Was he going to, he didn't tell anybody about the gun, but he brought the gun in, and he brought it in like a backpack or something. And for some reason, maybe he was hinting at something or whatever, but a Jefferson County Public Schools assistant principal, he found out about it, searched the kid's backpack, and found a 9mm in it. Well, the student admitted that he stole the 9mm Ruger from his father. Okay. Now, by the way, he found it. This is how he found it. The student's backpack was checked because he smelled like marijuana. Okay. Yeah, that's hard to hide, right? Okay. So you're coming into school smelling like the car from Wayne's World with all the smoke and stuff on it, you know, probably smoke coming out of the backpack still. And they check, and he has a 9mm Ruger. Now, they weren't sure what he was going to do with it. Was he just going to brag about it, or was he going to, you know, wave it around, or maybe nothing? I don't know. But the assistant principal did what maybe somebody might have done 50 years ago, 40, 30 years ago, okay, is he called the guy's father. And the father came down, and he was pissed, okay? And so I want to say there, this apparently, maybe the assistant principal had a knowledge of the family, and he knew that the father would be upset and that the father would take the discipline into account more so than what, you know, the mandatory expulsion and all that kind of stuff. Maybe he did some little old school parenting and principling, and said, we're going to let the father take care of this, because I'll bet the guy's butt got a whipping when he got home, okay? But now the principal's been suspended because he didn't tell anybody about it. Now, how they found out about it, I don't know exactly. But the point is that they think it should have been handled higher up. Oh, yeah, get the police involved and all that kind of stuff, and then ruin the kid's life for the rest of his life. So, at any rate, I thought that was an interesting story, in that years ago, I want to say, it was not unusual for guys that, especially if you lived out of town or something like that, you might have a shotgun or a rifle in your trunk because you went rabbit hunting, pheasant hunting, whatever, on the way home from school. My cousin, I remember, and he lived in a rural community, and you would pull into the parking lot, and there'd be a ton of pickup trucks with shotguns and shotgun racks in the back, okay? And by the way, if the principal came out and saw that you had a shotgun in your shotgun rack on your pickup truck, he might go, "Hey, what you got there? Oh, yeah, what are you using this year? Where are you hunting?" You know, it was a different time. And it's not the gun that changed. It's society that changed, and the reporting and the media and how they glorify what they do with these guns. So it makes me angry, and I would like to see us get back to a time when some of our Second Amendment rights are up for grabs, and also though being restored by things like hopefully the New York ruling on the New York Rifle Club that's going to come out of the Supreme Court. Hopefully that will help restore some of our rights again. Let's see, things that don't suck. I got a cough today. Oh my goodness. Let's see, Titech Arms 1022 chassis rail for 1022 rifles. I want to say this is kind of neat, and it's about $180, $179, and it's for a 1022. I want to say a Ruger 1022 is pretty much the Tinker Toy or Legos for the gun community. Okay, you like to build with them. People, you can swap barrels, you can swap triggers, mags, sights, all sorts of things. And this company came out with a really neat billeted aluminum, kind of a lightweight chassis for it that then you can put on either a tube and use like an AR stock on it, or you can put on a folding stock. It's pretty cool. We've got Ed from Ypsilanti on School Principles. Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, you know, Dan Bongino feels like a brother to me sometimes, but we were separated at birth, two different families.
You heard that. You know, that's funny because I started to say, who do I listen to, Dan? And I go, Bondarenko. No. Oh, well, that's good to hear that that you were listening. And I wondered what it would take to get you out of the woodwork here. So what are we talking about, principles?
I always listen to your show. I don't care if I'm doing show prep. I listen to your show. You are one of the best shows on. But as far as the school principal's concerned, you know, when you think about these principals that are hiding sexual abuse, like, oh, we just counseled him and let him go, and then the guy goes on and rapes somebody, you know, it's like because they didn't say anything. I understand what you're saying about the old days, but these days, man, if that kid came back and he killed somebody because we didn't, you know, and nobody reported it,
There would be hell to pay. And there's actually so many things going on in school between the whole. Did you see about in Kentucky where they had a gay day or something, and they had the principal was getting a lap dance from a guy? You know, it's like, what the hell? And that's okay, but this is bad, right? So
we're in strange days, brother. We're in strange days.
We certainly are.
All right, talk to you later.
Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for the fine compliments. I appreciate it, Ed.
All right, bye.
Bye. So I'm also looking here. What have I got? Still got enough time left. So I like this T-Tech rail, but I did get to the bottom of it, and I found out that you can't use it on a takedown 1022. So it's only usable for a regular, either a carbine length or rifle length standard 1022. It's called a TITECH22 Tech Arms 1022 chassis rail, and I think it's kind of cool. If you're wanting to do something a little special to an old hardwood one or a beat up old 1022 or something, this could be the beginnings of what you're trying to do if you're trying to build a gun. Because a lot of people, you know, I want to say, like I mentioned, it's like Legos we used to have a thing called plastic bricks, Lincoln Logs, Tinker Toys, all these kind of fun things where you would build things. Also, what was it called? Erector sets, okay? Now, I'm not talking about anything like you would... not talking about the pills you hear advertised with, my, you know, erector sets and things like that. No, these were building things, okay? And the thing is that guys also used to build cars, you know, and you'd have hot rods and stuff like that. 1022s have become that for a lot of gun owners because they're a fun, easy, and relatively inexpensive thing to be able to modify. Let's see. What was next on the story page here? And I did have a ton of pages today. And I'm scrolling through. Isn't that exciting? Here we go. 5 low-cost training methods for shooters. This is interesting. A lot of people are trying to find ways to reduce cost in shooting. Because it, even though we are now still finding ammo, 9mm, 40, 45, other ammo like that, you can find it. It is still more expensive than it was, although it's come down a little bit. So people are looking for low-cost training methods to shoot things and work on their practice to maintain their muscle skills and things like that. So dry firing is always a good way to do that. And I got to say, the one thing you have to be real careful of is making sure that that gun is empty. So one of the best ways to make sure your gun is indeed empty when you're dry firing is to replace the possibility of, first of all, you should have no ammunition in the room, in your pocket, in anywhere near where you're going to be doing your dry firing practice. So if you do it in the garage, if you do it in the basement, whatever, you should not have any ammunition there. But another way to help prevent that is to replace the space that would be taken up by the ammunition with snap caps, okay? Snap caps are, and there's I want to say they used to be, actually called snap caps, and there were clear ones. You could see the spring. They had a little spring loaded like primer, and you could put them in the gun, and then when you fired, the firing pin would rest on that spring loaded little pad, so that you weren't stressing the gun too much and stuff. Nowadays, there's ones made out of polymer. There's ones that are multi parts. There are ones actually that, and we'll get to them in a little bit, that actually can help with laser pointing and stuff. But so you can use them in magazines, and that way when you fire, now you still have to pull the trigger and then you have to rack the slide, but because you've got fake ammo in there, those snap caps in there, it will feed and eject like normal, so you can do normal drills and stuff like that. Lyman makes some. They call striker caps. They're called snap caps, but they are a very good way to do dry firing in a manner that is safe and will not hurt your firearm. Okay. The disadvantages are is you still have to, you know, rack the slide manually. You have to. You don't get any bang or recoil out of it, but it is a cheap way to be able to practice your trigger control and things like that. There are some laser trainers out there. I hear people all the time ask me about these things, and Laser Light makes three or four different kinds. There's other ones out there that use little emitters that are like in the place of a snap cap or a live cartridge. It goes in the chamber, and it has a laser that will read on a screen. There are some that are, I think it's called like, I'll look this up. It's called targetammo.com or something, and it is what it is it actually works with your iPhone. Okay, so there are ones that you can come up with ways to continue to practice with your firearm without spending money for ammunition. Okay. Also, one of the things that's interesting is there are BB guns and pellet guns now that are made that actually, and they're usually CO2 powered, the little CO2 cartridges, and they make them in exact duplicates of Glocks, like Glock 17s and 19s and stuff like that. And also Sig Sauer makes some. They actually are branded by the company, and they function. So when you fire that little BB, it actually functions the slide. And because they're made, they weigh within a couple of ounces of a normal firearm, they actually are good hand practice, tactile feedback. The slide recoil, you don't get the recoil of, say, a 9mm round, but you do get the cha-chink of the slide coming back and forth, and so it's pretty cool. So those are and they are a repeater, like the Umarex ones, U-M-A-R-E-X. They actually have, they'll hold like 15 BBs, so you can fire multiple times, get feedback at the target, because if you're using like a shoot and see or something, you'll see where it hits, and the gun actually behaves like a normal gun. So that's a good way to do it. Let's see. Then a lot of people are also downsizing to, like, and this is a problem if you can't find 22, but if you have a bunch of 22 at home, it might be worth investing in a 22, like the Glock Model 44 or something like that, to be able to shoot a gun that feels and acts like a real gun but shoots much less expensive ammo, like 22 instead of 9mm or 40 or 45. So at any rate, that's some suggestions on how to reduce cost and still be able to get your shooting in, okay? Anyway, let's see. So the last thing I was going to talk about, and I'll save this for another discussion, is folding knives, like pocket knives to be able as part of your everyday carry kit. So this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600. I will see you next week, and go blue.